Our second story today is set against that mighty cascade of water on the border between New York State and Canada, the famous honeymooner's destination described by Oscar Wilde as the first great disappointment in American married life, Niagara Falls. And before you all start emailing to tell us that Oscar Wilde actually called it the second great disappointment in American married life, apparently not. Apparently he said it was the first great disappointment. I checked it on the internet, so there you go. In the 19th century, Niagara Falls became a stage for daredevils. It was the age of live spectacle before the advent of film, and a succession of high divers and tightrope walkers and other intrepid souls all made their mark in and around those perilous waters. But until 1901, no one had dared to challenge the falls themselves, to actually try and go over the falls and survive. The person who eventually took on this challenge was an unlikely hero, and in the end, the net profit of that stunt was gravely disappointing. This story from producer Catherine Franey.
My God, she's alive!
The woman is alive!
She didn't die, but it's a really sad story anyway.
She was desperate to become financially independent.
Shot Niagara Falls and lives to profit by it.
Oh, I would have liked to watch the people on the riverbank. I could imagine them straining their eyes for a glimpse of the barrel, tumbling and tossing in huge waves. In another 5 seconds, I should reach the crest of the falls.
Mrs. Annie Edson Taylor went over Niagara Falls yesterday afternoon and survived, a feat never before accomplished and indeed never attempted.
At that instant, thousands would hold their breath and stare in fascinated horror. They would tremble with expectation as I dropped over the brink down to the chasm far below.
I'm Garrett Soden. I'm the author of a book called Falling, How Our Greatest Fear Became Our Greatest Thrill. It looks at the history of people that have challenged gravity in a number of ways, skydivers, mountain climbers, and stunt people. And so that includes Annie Taylor, who was the first person to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel.
The Cataract Journal, October 17, 1901. Mrs. Annie Edson Taylor of Bay City, Michigan, has been in town for a week arranging to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. Mrs. Taylor announces frankly her feat is to make money to provide for herself, believing as the only person ever to perform the stunt, she will be a great drawing card on the lecture platform and in shows. Yesterday afternoon, she declared she'd go over the falls on the coming Sabbath.
It'll be fame and fortune or instant death.
My name is Suzette Meyer, and I'm a novelist. I stumbled across all of this information, this history around Niagara Falls. And then there was a footnote about this woman, Annie Edson Taylor. And I was absolutely riveted by this. I couldn't believe that it was actually real.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
What is it?
The barrel is leaking.
How much water is it?
Is it about a pailful?
Well, that won't hurt you, Annie.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to cast you off now. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
The thing about her that's really interesting to me is, A, that she was 63 when she did this. The other thing, too, is that she did this remarkable, remarkable thing, but nobody's heard of her.
The local newspapers right around Niagara Falls did make a big deal of it, but that was tourism. The rest of the country really didn't take much notice at all. The amazing thing about Annie is that she came at a time when the idea of a gravity hero had been building for a long time. In the late 1700s, the parachute was invented, and the first people to use the parachute were performers. They would go up for crowds, and they would jump out of the parachute, and people would pay to watch that. And it steadily grew. You had high divers. In the early 1800s, there was a man named Sam Patch who used to dive off waterfalls. All of these men, and they were all men without exception, looked at the heroic aspect of this. They compared themselves to Napoleon. They compared themselves to generals going out to battle nature. In the midst of all this, you had a number of people clamoring to be the first to go over Niagara Falls and to be that ultimate gravity hero. And here comes Annie Taylor, She's a 63-year-old woman. She's not athletic in any way. She's plump.
For 2 years, I had been constantly studying, when not occupied in teaching, what I could do to make money, to make it honestly and quickly. All kinds of schemes ran riot through my brain. Late one evening, I sat alone reading a New York paper. I laid the paper down, and the idea came to me like a flash of light. Go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. No one has ever accomplished this feat, and this, if well managed, should bring me ready money. The moment this idea came into my head, I answered as though spoken to, "This is what I will do."
We need to look at where Annie came from. She was a farmer's daughter. She was born in 1838 and raised in Auburn, New York. She married, but unfortunately her husband died in the Civil War. She was left without any support. She was always described as a very independent woman, but she seemed to go on a real wandering streak. She got a degree in education. She taught for 3 years and then got a degree in dance. She was a dance instructor. And she started being an itinerant dance instructor. She went to a number of different cities. She taught in Chattanooga, Birmingham, San Francisco. She even opened a school in Bay City, Michigan, which is where she had relatives, but the school failed. She did this for almost 30 years, teaching dancing in these various cities, but as she aged, it became harder and harder to get students. So finally what happened in 1901, now we'll bring it up to the point where she's about to make this decision. She's now 63. She's living off of relatives, but she was desperate to become financially independent.
For years, I had taught physical culture, was an expert. I therefore knew how to plan a trip on scientific principles. Diameter at the top, 22 inches. Diameter at the middle, 34 inches. I measured and drew the dimensions of a barrel I thought would best stand the awful journey. I made a paper model sewn together with twine. Height, 4.5 feet. Weight, 160 pounds. I sought a cooper and had much trouble persuading him to make the barrel. He exclaimed, "My God, you'll be killed! Me helping, I can't do it! You'll drown! If that barrel hit a rock, it would smash to pieces. I can't make a barrel that strong. You go and find some other cooper to make it if you want to get yourself killed." I returned to his shop several times. He finally consented, and I told him exactly what to do. I selected the lumber to see that each piece was perfect and stood by and watched as the barrel was made. The lumber I picked out was Kentucky oak, of 1.5 inches in thickness, and I had each stave oiled, thinking the barrel would shed water better because of the oiling. In the head of the barrel was located a manhole, 12 by 14 inches. Covering the manhole was a bar of wood, 4 inches thick. Through this lid, a heavy iron screw ran. A bar dropped over this, and a nut placed on the screw was fastened down by a wrench. Securely fastened to the bottom of the barrel with iron straps was a blacksmith's anvil weighing about 175 pounds. This was used to keep the top of the barrel upwards in all events.
She was just going to lock herself in a barrel and drop herself over the falls. And if that's not exposing yourself as a victim to nature, I don't know what is.
I don't know about the idea that it requires no skill, that it's strictly placing yourself in the position of victim. You know, I think that she was a desperate person, certainly. So die in a giant extravagant way or make a lot of money and become famous. But is that about masochism? I don't know if that's about masochism. I don't see her as a victim in that way. I think she was either incredibly foolish and or incredibly brave. I think it took a tremendous imagination that she decided, why not me?
I'm not the usual carnival show-off. I've had a scientific education. I was an accomplished musician and dancer. Many have furthered their career due to my teaching. So what does it mean? I've never made a fortune. Many of my relatives are not concerned with my welfare. Many of them shun me as though I were afflicted with the plague.
The next thing that she does is she hires a manager, a man named Frank Russell. Now, Russell was a high dive promoter, and so he had been involved in stunts. She told him that she was only 42 years old. I don't know whether he believed it or not, but he wound up repeating that. She was actually 63. After only 3 months of planning, she sent Russell to Niagara Falls to announce to the press that this event was going to happen. Now, a few days later, Annie shows up at Niagara Falls and greets the reporters, and they're sort of stunned because she's obviously not 42. Now we see a woman who claims she's going to go over Niagara Falls. Not only is it a woman, not only is she 63, she's anything but athletic.
Ladies and gentlemen, the queen of the mist, the heroine of Niagara Falls, Mrs. Annie Edson Taylor.
Now we have to imagine what it must have been like for her. She had these two assistants, and they got in a rowboat and rowed over to Grass Island. They had the barrel, and they put it out in the water, and the two assistants got it ready, and Annie took off. She was wearing a long black skirt, a black jacket, and a big broad-brimmed black hat. Once again, not looking like an adventuress so much as a schoolmarm. So she took off her hat and her jacket, and she climbed into the barrel. She crouched down. Her assistants put the lid on. She was very concerned about suffocating in the barrel. She was concerned about this because a woman who had gone through the whirlpools in Niagara had suffocated. By the time they got her out of the barrel, she was dead. So Annie was very concerned about this. She asked one of the assistants to pump air into the barrel with a bicycle pump, which he dutifully did, although that didn't make any difference because as soon as they put the barrel in the water, it started leaking. It wasn't airtight in the first place. So imagine her. She's sitting inside this barrel. It's dark. She's holding on to these handles. The smell of soaked wood is around her, and she's hearing the river. And in the bottom of the barrel, there's, you know, about 8 inches of sloshing water covering her feet, which is freezing.
I can feel the barrel toss and even partly turn over. Now I entered the smooth, swift current that makes its way around the bend in the river.
People stood by the hundreds with ashen faces, spellbound, watching the dark speck rushing towards the center of the great horseshoe of water.
For the first time, I could hear the roar of the falls. As I faced the inevitable, life or a horrible death in 50 minutes, my courage rose. I tore the cushion from my head, placed it quickly under my knees, and dropped to the bottom of the barrel. I clasped my hands tightly, relaxing every muscle in my body. I dropped my head on my breast when I realized I was on the brink of the awful precipice. The barrel seemed to pause for 1 second. Then, as swift as thought, it made the awful plunge of 158 feet to the boiling waters far below.
She hears the river drop away, and she feels herself sort of float out into space, realizing that she's gone over the falls.
I knew I was falling by the feeling that something had given out from under me. The sensation was one of indescribable horror. I felt as though all nature was being annihilated.
Now, she's bracing for the impact when she hits the surface. She's really concerned that that's going to knock her out.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy upon me.
Amazingly, she doesn't feel it. Instead, what happens is tons of water is just funneling her down into the throat of Niagara Falls, so there is not a surface to hit.
There was no sensation of striking the waters in the lower river. I simply knew I was in the terrifying cauldron at the base of the falls. I went down, far below the surface,
Not a sound reached my ears. I felt alone, cold, forsaken.
Now she's probably a couple of dozen feet underwater. And momentarily she feels herself rising, and she feels the barrel being shot out of the water.
The barrel came up under the water, pouring over the precipice. It was then I began to suffer. The barrel was picked up like a feather and dashed violently around in midair. Struck on the rocks, cold water was forcing itself in. My strength was fast giving way. The barrel then shot out from the cataract like an arrow from a bow, giving me a frightful lurch.
The barrel floated into an eddy near a huge rock about 500 yards from the base of the falls.
All at once, I heard the barrel grate upon the rocks. It was at that instant I knew I was saved. My senses immediately left me. My head dropped forward. Like a person falling to sleep, I became unconscious.
As the barrel floated by the rock, engineer John Ross of the steamer Maid of the Mist retrieved it with a long pole and drew it close. In a second, the barrel was drawn up on the rock and the manhole cover was removed. Engineer Ross got down on his hands and knees and peered inside.
The woman is alive!
The word soon reached the top of the gorge by megaphone. A tremendous roar went up from the crowd and was heard on the American side of the river. They gave an answering cheer, and both boats of the Maid of the Mist Company blew their whistles in salute to the brave woman.
If it was with my dying breath, I would caution anyone against attempting the feat. I would sooner walk up to the mouth of a cannon, knowing it was going to blow me to pieces, than make another trip over the falls.
Annie Edson Taylor, a woman of indomitable resolve, of lion-like courage, a woman who had the strength of her conviction.
I certainly would have jumped off the bridge or gone over the falls in an attempt to kill myself if I had been prevented. I have very urgent reasons for making the trip, and if I had failed, I certainly would have committed suicide.
So she's done her stunt. She must be thinking, well, now I've done it. Now I will be able to provide for myself, perhaps pay back my relatives. The problem was her manager. Her manager had not set up anything ahead of time. He did not rent bleachers as the Wirewalkers had, so there were no tickets to sell. He had not booked train reservations and resold the seats, which is what the other Wirewalkers had also done, so that when people came in from Niagara, they got a cut of that. The only money that was planned to be made on the day of the event was to sell signed photographs, which I'm sure they sold a certain amount, but it was no big shakes. Russell did manage to get her to appear at the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo, and she was a big hit. People were standing in line 6 hours to see her.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Queen of the Mist, the heroine of Niagara Falls, the first person to go over Niagara Falls and survive, Mrs. Annie Edson Taylor.
So she was ready for the next step. She was ready for Russell to book her into the lecture tour. All he could find were dime museums, and she was horrified at that. She thought that that was beneath her standard. So she refused. Now, after not getting any work for a while, she relented, and Russell booked her into a series of appearances at department stores, where she would sit in a department store window with her barrel, and that would be the attraction. I think it was probably quite demeaning for her.
To my friend, Al Tanner, manager of the Lyceum Theater, March 26, 1902. Dear Mr. Tanner, in the months since accomplishing my feat over the falls, I have traveled through Michigan, Ohio, and South Carolina, giving lectures and making appearances where possible. My great mistake was in selecting as manager Frank M. Russell. He keeps most of the takings for himself. Now he has absconded with my barrel. Now, Mr. Tanner, I want to ask you if you cannot see some way to lend me the money to go after the barrel. It would cost $25. I've tried every way possible to get the money. I plead with you in God's name to try in some way to help me, for I can make money with the barrel. Sincerely, Annie Edson Taylor.
So finally she got her barrel back. She hired a new manager. His name was William Banks. She thought she would do better with him. They started working county fairs and the like. Again, not much money came in, and unfortunately, again, her manager left her, took the barrel, only this time he hired a pretty young thing to impersonate Annie, and so he went across the country with this supposed Annie Taylor and the barrel and made a lot of money, once again cutting Annie out. Then I think maybe the final indignity was the fact that the two rivermen who had assisted her on the actual drop made a movie of an empty barrel going over Niagara Falls, and they sold that to the Nickelodeons as if it were a record of the actual event. And, of course, Annie didn't get any of that money either.
My life since going over the falls has been one of trial and persecution. Not once have I ever seen in any paper or magazine a true version of the trip over the falls. Nor have the thousands of people who came to see me, with few exceptions, ever thought of the fact that I had the brain to plan such a trip and the courage to make it. I know how the world heaps sudden glory on the achiever, then just as quickly they treat that person with scorn. I'm no fool. I've learned the hard way how little the world really cares.
She eventually wound up alone. She went back to Niagara Falls City. She would sit on the sidewalk. She got a barrel. It wasn't her original barrel, but it was a barrel. And she would sit there and sell postcards. And she did that for 20 years. And she was basically just a wrinkled old woman who was a curiosity on the streets. It's really sad.
I would say that she definitely was murdered in a very slow, painful, irritating way through poverty. She tried to sell pictures of herself, you know, with the barrel and just couldn't make any money. And I think it had to do with the fact that she was not a sexy young thing. She was not a man. And so what else should a woman of a certain age do in 1901? Well, she should disappear. And how do you disappear? You end up in a poorhouse.
Niagara County Infirmary, February 1921. Through misfortune and other people's dishonesty, I lost all of my fortune. It is quite a change for me to come here, when I have been used to being entertained in senators' homes in Washington and traveling extensively, but I feel that it is no disgrace. And if all my plans materialize, I shall not remain here long.
And sad to say, Annie Edson Taylor died in the poorhouse at Niagara Falls in 1921. You've been listening to Earshot and Not the Usual Carnival Show-Off, produced by Catherine Franey, with technical production from Stephen Tilley and Judy Rapley. Readings were by Jane Harders, Chris Kukovinis and Paul Comrie Thompson. For details of all the relevant books written by Garrett Soden and Suzette Mayer, head to the website via the RN homepage.